seat and make welcome your associate pastor of Eagle Heights Worship Center, none other than our son, Pastor David.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Yes, amen. Oh, thank you for that. Thank you. Let's just give God some glory for a moment. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've been doing, God, how you've been moving in these people, how you've been moving in this church. Father, it's not by our power, it's not by our might, but Lord, it's by your Spirit. It's by your Spirit, God. So we say thank you, God, for all the blessings, all the promises you've been doing. We say thank you, God, for the harvest that you've been taking us into. And Lord, today is your day. Today is the Sabbath day. And we just give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, and we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Before I get started, I just want to give honor to our apostle and prophetess. Thank you, guys. You guys are amazing leaders. They both disappeared, but they're amazing leaders. We're so thankful for them. There he is. So thankful for them. So thankful for you. Thank you for this opportunity to come and preach the word. We are a part of a great church, part of a great people, and what you have to see is you have to see in faith what God wants for this church and what God wants he's taking us into. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited for what God's about to do in this church, in you as a people, in us as a body, and I am so excited and so expecting, amen? Because God is on the move, and he's about to expand us, and he's about to increase us, and he's about to restore us and renew us like we've never seen before. So I am just so excited. I'm expecting. When I came into church today, I was very happy because it was refreshing to be back home with my family. Yeah. Amen. We were in Oklahoma last week, but there's no place like home. There's no place like my church people. You are my family. And we love you. I love you. Seeing each and every one of you ministers to my heart. Just when you walk in through the door, it don't matter if you got your hair straight or if you got coffee or if you got a donut hanging off your cheek, just seeing you makes me happy, amen? And it's a joy to be in the presence of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So I'm glad to be here this morning. Before I get started, I want to give honor to my wife. Babe, can you come up here for a moment? She is so amazing. She's so beautiful. I'm a lucky man. Lucky man. I scored the jackpot, and I am so privileged to be married to her, to be her husband, and y'all don't know, but she keeps my clothes straight, so I don't have wrinkled clothes. Amen? I used to preach with wrinkled shirts all the time, and it was embarrassing, but she came through. She came through with that steamer iron, praise the Lord, and we are just so happy. We just want to testify to you all that God's been doing great things in your life, but he's also been doing great things in our life. He's been increasing Megan at her job. She just got a new position that pays more. Amen. Shama. I said, babe, you go ahead, be my sugar mama. Go right ahead. I said, we're going to buy you a new car. We're going to do it all. We're going to tithe to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. You got to have joy when the increase comes into your life. Is it okay if we just have joy today? You got to have joy when the increase. I thank you, Lord. I feel him. Woo! You got to have joy when the increase comes into your life. Because if you don't have joy with the increase, you'll never have joy at all. So you have to have joy when the increase comes into your life. And so we also have another announcement that's pretty special. Pretty special. What's crazy is when God says something, it has to happen. No matter how long you try to delay it, or how long other people tried to delay it, or the devil tries to delay it, his word always comes to pass. Amen. All of you are like, I'm doing this for suspense, because this, just as the Lord is expanding us, he's going to be expanding this church, because saints of God, we are pregnant. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen to me. Oh, I feel Jesus. This was not just something that we planned, that we strategized, that we wanted. This was something that God wanted. And let me tell you, when I say you can't delay it, I mean you can't delay it. Because I was not ready for a kid at the time. But then the Lord got my heart ready to where I was looking at baby clothes at Walmart, but I was hiding. I was like, I started looking up baby toys on Amazon. I was like, these toys are lit. We buying all the toys. Partially for the kid, partially for me. Because these toys are lit. These things are awesome. They got dinosaurs you put together yourself now. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. So we are so excited. The due date was April 7th of 2023. So Easter weekend, amen. Easter weekend. So if Easter this year you do not see us, please know that we are giving birth to creation. And we are not skipping Easter weekend, amen. If we are combobbled in our minds or if we ever seem distracted, please know the reason why. This is our first child, amen, so we're just a little nervous, but we are excited, we're expecting. I'm ready. We got grandma and grandpa. And let me tell you something, saints of God. If he can increase for us, he can increase for you. No matter what's going on in your life, God will always come through. When you least expected it, when you didn't plan it, when you have a promise from God, you can stand on the promise, and the promise has to come to pass. Abraham, all he had was a promise, but he went to the mountain anyway, and the Lord provided the sacrifice. It may not be just in childbirth, but you may be just be standing on a promise this morning, and I've come to declare to this body, there is expansion, there is increase. I'm talking finances, I'm talking in your family. I come to declare and decree to you today, the promise of God is not dead, but it is still alive. The promise of God has to be accomplished in your life. So have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Because the promise has to come to pass. In Jesus' name. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, baby. Thank you. Amen. Ooh, I'm so. Thank you. Thank you. Woo! Thank you. So please forgive me if I'm a mix of emotions this morning, if I'm all over the place. I'm just so excited because, listen to me, saints of God, when you have a promise, just stand on the promise. It don't take a heavy formula. It don't take crazy 13 steps of religion. You just have to know how to stand on the promise. And when the prophetic voices speak into your life, listen to those prophetic voices. Many of you don't know, but at Fire and Glory, we had, I think it was 3 or 4 people come up to us and said, are you guys expecting? And I was like, we ain't expecting nothing. And Megan was like, I received it. Come on, somebody. And you have to know when prophetic voices speak into your life, that is a sign from God. And Pastor David saw the sign, amen. And we are so excited, we are so privileged, and I just want to declare to this body that there is going to be expansion in your life. We are seeing expansion in our lives in multiple ways. You will see expansion in your life. I promise you that. I promise you that. You will see expansion. No matter what trials you go through, no matter what pains you go through, you will see expansion. But you have to have faith to stand upon that word this morning. Because before I dive into my message, the Lord told me to tell you this morning, you will see expansion. You will see harvest. Some of you are seeing it right now, but you're going to see more. God is not done yet. For some of you, the harvest is right now, and you will see the harvest. But what the Lord told me to tell you this morning, he said, you need to be stewards of the blessing. To this body, to all those watching online, to all of us listening this morning, he said, you need to be a steward of the blessing. Because when increase comes, it's not just for consuming, but it's also for reinvesting, re-sowing. So that the harvest doesn't stop with you, but it keeps on going for generations upon generations. Amen. So the Lord told me to tell you that this morning, so I want you to receive that word. And I feel the Lord so strong on me, and I'm so excited. Let's just dive right into the message this morning. And let us stand for the reading of the word. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Are you guys ready to receive the word this morning? And everybody's like, man, they're having a baby. I know, but let's focus on the word. Amen. Here's what the scripture says. I beseech you, therefore. Now, stop right there. Beseech means I beg you. I implore you. I am begging you to hear this next part. Whatever this next part is, I need you to hear it. So are we hearing it? Okay, here we go. Brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Stop right there. The Greek word there for bodies is actually your body. Nothing complicated. It means your skin, your bones, your mind, your voice, your action, your feet, your toes. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Sacrifice meaning I give up my purpose for the purpose of God. That's sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's saying here, when you do this, this is actually a form of worship. Did you know that you can worship every single day when you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God? Amen. Verse 2, watch this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You may be seated. The title of my message this morning is Get Your Mind Back. Get your mind back. Get your mind back. You see, in our lives, thanks to God, we all have battlefields. And what we do on those battlefields is is a preeminent direction of what your life will turn up to do. If you lose on the battlefield, you'll lose in your life. If you win on the battlefield, you will win in your life. And one of the greatest battlefields of your life is your mind. One of the greatest battlefields you will ever face is your mind. It's a place where joy or fear can take hold and manifest in your life, the battlefield of the mind. You see, it's a place where your destiny and your decisions are made, the battlefield of the mind. Someone say, get your mind back. You see, winning the battlefield of the mind is the first step to gaining a manifested victory. The mind is a powerful tool that the Lord has given us, and that's why the enemy always wants to attack your mind. Anybody ever been attacked in your mind before? Enemy makes you think you're terrible. He makes you think you're a horrible person. He attacks you in your mind. You see, it's so important that we get our minds back. You see, because if the enemy can cut you off at the battlefield of your mind, you will never see manifestation of promise, victory, or joy. The battlefield of the mind is one of the most important battlefields we have to win as Christians. The battlefield of the mind. That's why the enemy attacks us so hard. If he can cut you off up here, he can cut off manifestations in your life. Pastor David, that's pretty simple. And that's wow, I never thought about that. But yeah, your mind is actually a great tool that God gave you.
That's right. Yes, it is.
Your mind is a great tool that God gave you. It's crazy that we see contractors and we see engineers, how they can think up a building in their mind. They see a three-dimensional picture in their mind. It goes from their mind to paper. It goes from paper to a manifested building. The building just didn't come out of nowhere, but the building started in their mind first.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of things in your life that you want manifested have to start in the mind. If you want greater favor in your life, you have to see in your mind you walking already in greater favor. Right. It's the battlefield of the mind. Yes. And you see, what will try to happen is the devil will try to come and convince you that you cannot win in the battlefield of your mind. The devil will try to convince you that generational curses are all that's for your life. He'll try to convince you that you're not good enough. He'll try to convince you that the Lord doesn't love you. He'll try to convince you that you'll never make it in life, that you'll never push through. He'll try to convince you that you'll never see the promise. You'll never walk in manifestation. He'll always try to attack your mind. But you've got to say to yourself sometimes, I'm taking my mind back. I'm taking my joy back. I'm taking my peace back. I'm getting my mind back. Someone say, I'm getting my mind back. You see, God did not destine you to sit down and just take it. He didn't destine you to sit down and take every attack the adversary has thrown your way. There are some times, saints of God, where you have got to rise up in your life and say, I'm taking my mind back. I'm taking my joy back. I'm taking my favor back. I'm taking my prosperity back. Because all that stuff starts right here in the mind. We have got to be, saints of God, rising up, Christians.
Yeah, that's right.
Not a sitting down and just taking it, Christians. You've got to be a rising up Christian. One that says, devil, I will not take this attack. I will not sit here and just conform to it and be complacent with the attack, but I'm going to rise up and speak back to it. Someone say, take your mind back. You see, you've got to rise up, saints of God. The woman with the issue of blood, before she ever went and touched Jesus' garment, she thought to herself first. Notice the Bible says she thought within herself first, before she took action. She thought within herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Yes. What's crazy is that her action of crawling through the crowd, her action of pressing through all these people, started first with a thought. She didn't act first and then think later. She thought first and then acted. I want to teach you a principle. It's okay if I preach today just a little bit. I want you to hear and receive this, because this is a revelation God gave me. We'll dive deep in a moment, but I want you to receive this. So you have to be able to produce it in the mind first, and then it produces an action. You have to understand that every action in your life starts with a thought. When you got angry in traffic and you gave the person the bird, that started with a thought first. The thought was, oh, I'm going to show you something. And it produced an action. Come on, somebody. Or the first time that me and Megan were dating and we went to kiss for the first time, it started with a thought first. The thought was, I'm going to lay it on her. And it turned into an action. Come on, we married. It's all good. Come on, hey, y'all. We all in this. We all human. You think thoughts 24/7. Some of you are thinking about Chick-fil-A right now. You're like, if only Chick-fil-A was open on Sundays, it would produce an action in me right after service, and I would go get some chicken nuggets in the name of Jesus. Your thoughts produced actions in your life. So when you have thoughts of depression, it will produce depression in your life. When you have thoughts of fear, it will produce fear, produce actions of fear in your life. That's why you have to understand your faith is either built or destroyed in your mind. Your faith is either built or destroyed in your mind. The woman with the issue of blood built her faith. She did not focus on the past 12 years of destruction, the past 12 years of offense, the past 12 years of how the doctors hurt her, took advantage of you. Her mind wasn't possessed on those hurtful thoughts, but her mind said, I'm going to build up my most holy faith with my thoughts first. She built up her faith with her thoughts, and it produced an action of faith that brought and manifested healing into her life. You can never have manifestation until you begin to think it first. You've got to think it and see it in your mind before you can see it manifested in your life. Before I ever got a Mustang GT, I put pictures of that Mustang on my phone. I printed off pictures and put it on my office wall. I put pictures up everywhere. I looked at a Mustang on Ford.com every single day. I knew every single detail. I knew every single tire option. I knew every single leather option. Before I even had the money or the increase to get to it, I was working at Burger King. And I wanted a $45,000 Mustang GT. And even though at that moment it was out of my reach, I still had thoughts of someday I'm going to take a hold of that key and I'm going to jump in that Mustang. Someday it's coming to me. Someday, if I just keep pressing, if I just keep moving here at Burger King, if I just keep making them chicken nuggets as hot as they can be, I'm going to get my Mustang someday. Come on, somebody. Because God doesn't care where you're at right now. He just wants to see that you have faith to know that you're going to walk into your future promise. Because when he gave you a promise, all he wants you to do is stand on it with faith and say, even though I'm not there right now, I will see it someday. I will see the walls fall down someday. I will see the promise manifested someday. I will see the increase in my life someday. It may not be now, but it's going to happen. It may not be now, but I'm going to possess it because I will see it. Woo! So even though I was working at Burger King, and listen, y'all, I stole onion rings all the time. I stole onion rings. Lord, forgive me. But even while I'm cooking onion rings, I am declaring to myself, you're going to have a brand new Mustang GT. What's crazy is a lot of times we give up on the promise because it wasn't instantaneous in our lives. Did you know that sometimes God's promises will take 25, 30 years of your life? Look at Abraham. I'm going to give you a son. It was 25 years he waited before he had a son. Your faith cannot be dictated by time. Your thoughts of faith cannot be dictated by time. Because if it was dictated by time, then all the devil has to do is delay you and he can kill your faith. So you've got to have thoughts of faith, even when it seems it's 40 years from now. You've already got to have thoughts that I'm going to receive the manifestation before I walk into the manifestation. The woman with the issue of blood said, the past 12 years don't matter anymore, but I see myself touching the hem of his garment. I see myself already being healed. And as she pressed through the crowd, her thought turned into manifestation of an action of faith, and she was healed in that instantaneous moment. Your faith is either added to or subtracted from by the thoughts of your mind. That's why in James 1, 6 through 8, the Bible says that when you're asking God, do not doubt. For having doubt makes you like the wave of a sea, and you are tossed by the winds, and you are unstable in all of your ways. Thoughts of doubt make you unstable. That's why many Christians, when they get a prophetic word, they're like, Jesus! 3 weeks or 3 weeks from then, they're like, I don't know if God's going to come through. I just don't know. They become unstable in all their way. You got to have stable faith. And stable faith first starts in the mind. So when voices of doubt come up and pop up in your mind, you say, nope, I don't receive that. I'm taking my mind back. Don't got time for that. That's right. I don't got time for all the drama. I don't got time for all the offense. I don't got time for that. I don't got time for doubt. I don't have time for anxiety. I don't have time for fear. My mind is in my possession, and I take hold of it. You've got to know how to take your mind back, because your life is either victorious or it is lost in battle, and it starts right here with the mind. Saints of God, your thoughts of faith will lead to actions of faith. That's why a lot of the times God will speak to you in what? A thought. How many know, for some of us, there's some people who got lucky and they've heard God's voice audibly. They've heard God's voice audibly. But for about 99.99% of us, we don't hear his voice audibly. How many knows, when you hear God's voice, I don't know about you, but for me, when I hear his voice, I'm in my nothing zone sometimes. You know what I'm talking about. You're in your nothing zone. There's literally no brain activity up here. There's none. Like yesterday when I was mowing the lawn, there was no brain activity. It was just dead in the water. And then all of a sudden, a thought came to my mind, and it was the Lord speaking to me. You've got to know how to realize that sometimes thoughts in your mind is actually the voice of the Lord. Because if he can plant his voice right here in your mind, and you grab a hold of it in faith, it then turns into an action. And actions manifest victory in our lives. But you can never have the true, correct actions of faith until you learn how to hear his voice right up here. So that's why sometimes you'll feel an unction. Maybe I should buy that property. And it just kicks you in the gut every single time. That's God prodding you in your mind, saying, And you should grab a hold of it. Sometimes in your mind, you'll be out and about, and God will give you an unction and say, go pray for that person. But the crazy thing is, as soon as that he does that, then you'll immediately hear other voices go, well, I don't know if that person's going to accept me. I don't know if they're going to pull a gun on me. People are crazy these days. I don't know if they're really going to accept the prayer. And you see, the enemy's always trying to battle you in your mind. Because if he can cancel the thought here, he can cancel the action. It's okay if I just teach this morning. I'm not used to really teaching, so it's just taking me a little bit here. So you've got to get your mind back. And you got to realize that some things in your life, it was an unction from God. He was telling you, go pray for that person. Go give this to that person. Yesterday, we've been having some little bit of Fitbits or issues. I know, little piffs. We'll call them piffs. Little piffs with our neighbors. And yesterday, they were out here. I was mowing. So I went up and talked to them. And now, the flesh side of me was like, I'm going to tell you something. And immediately, the Lord came in and said, peace. And I was like, Lord, he said, mercy. And he reminded me of the scripture, bless those who hate you. Bless those who persecute you. So you know what I did to those neighbors we were having a piff with? I went to that garage back there and I got a whole stack of Gatorade. I went and took it to him. I said, hey guys, it's hot out here. Here's some refreshing for you guys. As Christians, we got to know how to love those who hate us. And a lot of times, that action of giving them Gatorade started right here. The Lord spoke to me and said, go give them Gatorade. And I actually fought with the Lord for a second. I was like, Lord, give them Gatorade? Are you serious? Like, after what we've been having discussions about, you want me to go make a peace offering with them? You want me to make peace offerings? Come on, God. Yeah, I was like, I'm the one out here sweating. I need a bottle of water. He's like, give them Gatorade. But you don't know that that action was a seed that sowed into them. And now they're like, maybe those church people are nice. Maybe those church people are nice. So you've got to be able to listen to the unctions of the Spirit. You've got to be able to stay with God in your mind. You've got to be connected to him at all times. What's crazy is if you look at the verse 2. Look at verse 2 here. I want to teach you about this verse. Paul says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you want transformation in your life, anyone want transformation? You want a whole completely new lifestyle. You want a whole completely new favor with God. You want complete transformation. Transformation means to take a completely different form. To do that, you need to have a renewing of your mind. Now, people think, Pastor David, the mind's not that powerful, but yet the Bible talks about your mind all the time. And then right here, it talks about transformation doesn't come until you have a renewing of your mind. Now, when many people think about renewing, they think I'm renewing my subscription to Netflix. I am continuing what I've always had. I renew. And I'm just checking out the book again. I'm renewing the book from the library again. So some people will begin to think, I just have to renew the same mindset. I have to renew my same thought pattern I've always had since I was a child. I've just got to renew it. But when you look at the word renewing in the Greek, go to my next screen here, look at this. The Greek word is anakaneos. It means to renovate. Renovate means to restore by rebuilding. So he's saying there, it's not by checking out the same mindsets, but it's actually by rebuilding your mindset. There you go. You restore by rebuilding. Anyone ever renovated a home before? Whenever you start renovation, you have to start what? Demolition. There has to be some taking down. You see, you got to take down the old. You can't leave the 1970s shag carpet in the room. You've got to rip it out to put in the new. Because you have to understand, God is not the God of cover-up, but God is the God of you being a new creature. For us to have transformation, I can't cover up my mindsets. I can't try to cover up the things of the past. But I've got to let God go in and do some demolition and tear down the old and begin to put in the new. You see, when we try to cover up, what you don't realize is that God is the God of the secret place. The Bible says God sees in the secret. So when you try to cover it up, he's still seeing it. It's kind of like when I was a kid, I was trying to hide that I failed the math test. So I crumple it up and I put it in the trash can and I put a bunch of wrappers on top of it and then I put more trash on top and even threw away an old toy because I was like, I want to recycle and it's on the bottom of the trash can. But when you got a prophetic mama, she walks in there like, I feel a disturbance in the spirit. She dug all the way to the bottom of that trash can and pulled out that effing math. She knew in the spirit. She knew. And that's the same way God does with your life. A lot of times, we try to think we can cover it up from God. We try to think, Pastor David, my mind's been renewed. No, all you did was cover up the old mindset and suppress the old mindset. And God's coming into your room this morning. He's saying, I see the paper you've been trying to hide. I see the habit you've been trying to hide. God is not the God of a cover-up, but God is the uncovering God. Because he's got to take away some things from our life. He's got to tear down the old so he can put in the new. Woo, amen. You have to understand that you will never have transformation until you have renovation. You'll never have transformation in your life until you have renovation, meaning that you've got to destroy some of the old walls. And what's crazy about the process of transforming and being renovated in the power of God is that sometimes it will actually feel like you're taking two steps backwards rather than going forward. One time we had a duplex property, and we had to renovate that side of the duplex, and we were ripping up carpet, and as we ripped up the carpet, we saw the floorboards had massive mold all over the floorboards. We ripped up the floorboards, and there was a leaky pipe. So sometimes what God has to do when he begins renovating you and transforming you, he's got to rip up all the things and go all the way back to the foundation, all the way back to your childhood. He's got to go all the way back to what someone said to you when you were 6 years old in Sunday school, because until he gets rid of that, until he gets rid of that thing and fixes the foundation of a thing, all the new thought patterns will never take hold. They will simply just be a cover-up, and you'll never see transformation or manifestation in your life until you let God come in and get back to the foundation. So you let him come in and tear down some things in your life. So you let him come in and destroy some bad habits in your life. Until you let him come in and restore and rebuild in your life. You see, it's all part of the process. God coming in and renovating your life is all a part of the process. All part of the process. So whenever you feel, saints of God, that, God, you're really renovating me. You're dealing with some old thought patterns. You're dealing with some old things from my life. And, man, this is challenging me, and I feel like I'm taking three steps back. You've got to know and just hold on that it's part of the process and that God is a good God, and he is there to restore you, but he's got to get all the way down to the foundation. That's so good. That's so good. So that's why sometimes, saints of God, when you feel transformation in your life, you'll feel like you're taking three steps backwards. Because God is having to say, okay, I uncovered this problem. Okay, now when I did that, I uncovered this problem. Okay, now when I did that, I uncovered this root here. And then we did that. Okay, now I got to go back to the foundation here. So that's why you have to understand that transformation sometimes will feel like a step back, but it's actually you're moving forward. You just have to trust in his plan.
Trust,
amen. And that's what's crazy, saints of God. To renovate, there has to be a plan. Just imagine with me if in your house that you live in, a contractor just came in and started tearing stuff down. And you asked him, okay, what are we doing with all this? And he goes, I don't know. We'll figure it out when we get there. How many knows? I'd be like, you get out of my house right now. And if he has no plan, it produces anxiety. It produces fear in you. Even though it was actually a part of the process, it still produced fear because there was no plan. So a lot of the times, that's why you've got to pick out. You got to pick out the stucco. You've got to pick out the tiles. You got to go to the store and pick out the carpet and the hardwood floor. You've got to draw it out. You got to take measurements with the contractor. You got to come to an agreement. You've got to get in unity on the plan before you can start renovation. And in our lives, it's the same thing with our relationship with God. You've got to get in agreement with the plan before he can start renovating your life. You got to get in agreement with the plan before he can start renovating your life. Meaning that sometimes the plan won't align up to your plans. Because a lot of the times when you say, God, this is my plan, your plan is actually aligning up with your old habits and not with your destiny. Hear me this morning. I'm trying to get down deep. Is it okay if I get down deep? A lot of times why many Christians don't grow, why many Christians don't mature, is because they haven't submitted or surrendered to God's plan. They are trying to make things happen in their plan, in their timing. And whenever you do that, your habits are actually speaking to you the entire time. Your childhood is speaking to you the entire time. What you've been through is speaking to you the entire time. And we wonder why we can't grow, because you still have a faulty plan. Pastor David, I'm trying to renovate. I'm going to church. I'm doing these things. But if nothing's taking place, I don't feel progress in my life. You had a faulty plan. That's why the Bible says, for I know the plans I have for you. So you've got to get in agreement with God's plan for your life. Woo, Jesus. I feel you. I feel him on that one. Woo, I felt him on that one. You see, God had to do this process in my life, in my thought patterns. Now, relationships in my life were a big struggle because mom and dad had this story about meeting the one. I was like, I want to meet the one. Come on, single people, you know what I'm talking about. I want to meet the one. And so what was crazy is for a while, listen, y'all, everybody rejected me. And so I was like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Either I'm being too nice or I'm not good enough. And so I began to have these thought patterns that I was ugly. I thought I was ugly, okay? Like a 10 out of 10 ugly. And what happened was God had to deal with me about my thought pattern. It wasn't them producing ugliness in me. It was my thoughts producing ugliness in me. And so when I finally got surrendered to the plan, God began to pull back some things and took me back all the way to kindergarten. When a girl on the playground said, you are butt ugly. That's what she said. And you see, it's funny now. I laugh at it now. I laugh at it now. She said that to me in kindergarten. I didn't know that it planted a seed and it came up in my foundation and it changed my mindset. And it started preventing some things. So I had to go through renovation in my mind. And God had to come and tell me, you are not what she said when you were in kindergarten, but you are a stud muffin. Come on. You are the Lay's potato bag of chips. Amen. You are the M&M's in the concrete mix. Praise the Lord. And what's crazy about that, are you having fun? I'm having fun. What's crazy about that is that that's a lot of us this morning. A lot of things in your life was prevented because of a thought. I thought I could never have a good relationship because of a thought pattern. Many of you, you are seeing doors opening for your life, and you are saying, God, I'm not good enough to walk through that door because of something that happened to you when you were a child. So what someone spoke over you, your mama, your daddy spoke over you when you were a child and said you'll never be good enough, and now it's manifested in right now, and it's because it's manifested in your thoughts, it's preventing you from walking to the blessing. So it's not that the blessing wasn't there, but it's because of the wrong thought pattern. So we've got to have a renewing of the mind by the renovating of the mind, by the tearing down of old thought patterns, and I've got to let God go back into the foundation of my life. So I've got to get in agreement with this plan. I've got to get in agreement with his plan for prayer time in my life. I got to get in agreement with this plan for worship time in my life. I got to get in agreement of his plan with sacrifice in my life. What's crazy is sometimes God's plan for you in a season, he'll tell you, go to church. Go to church. Go to church. Sometimes he'll tell you, the plan I have for you in this season is read the Bible 15 minutes every day. How many plans has God given you that we've simply laid to the side? How many plans have God given us for your advancement, for your growth, for your victory? He'll give you the plan to overcome the giant. He'll give you the plan. God's not a God to leave you out dry and empty, but you've got to come in submittance to the plan. If you want renovation, you want transformation in your life, you have to come in agreement with God's plan for your life. Oh, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now watch this. Number two, to renovate your mind, you have to have the right tools. How many knows if I go to renovate a house with a butter knife, that's not going to be very fun. That's going to be hard work. What if I go into a house to renovate it with the same strategies of the settlers from 1805? How many knows that you would be frustrated? You would be angry. You would abandon the renovation because not because you're not good enough, but because you had the wrong tool and the wrong strategy. Many Christians have abandoned the renovation of their lives, transformation of their lives, because they've had the wrong tools. We've had the butter knife. But just like prophets spoke last week, you've got to be able to sharpen your axe. You've got to have the right tool. You see, when she was preaching about that axe that was dull, listen, y'all, I cut down trees in the back with that axe. And let me tell you something. If you want to work out, cut down a tree with a dull axe. I mean, I was pouring down sweat. It's hard work, and it made me want to quit on getting some firewood for the youth camp. I was like, at the youth camp, we all going to be cold. We all going to be cold because this is a dull axe. The devil will try to make you abandon the plan and make you abandon the prosperity all because he made you dull your tools. That's why you've got to sharpen the axe. You've got to pick up the word, which is your sledgehammer. You've got to pick up prayer, which is your power drill. You've got to pick up worship, which is your cutting stone. And you've got to pick up the right tools to renovate your mind, to renovate your life. Do not let the enemy make you abandon the renovation of your life. You've got to have the right tools. You see, what's crazy is I can have a sledgehammer, but if I just hold it and never use it, it's no good. Watch this. A lot of Christians come to church and they're saying, Pastor David, I want renovation in my mind. I want transformation in my life. I want it. I receive it. They get prayed for. They go home. We give them the tools. We give you the word of God. We give you everything you need for life. We give it to you. It's in your hand, and you go home and you're like, how many knows if I was renovating a house and I just walked in and just stood there? They'd be asking me, what's going on? And it would never happen. It would never take place. It wasn't that the enemy delayed you. Is that because you didn't use your tool? A lot of the times, delay is actually self-inflicted because you haven't been using the tools you've been given. Oh, you need to tweet that. Delay is self-inflicted because you haven't been using the tools you've been given. That's a lot of times while you get the word of God, you get this message this morning, and you go to work on Tuesday, and the enemy starts to try to give you anxiety. He tries to start and give you fear. You've got to rise up and begin to speak the word of God, which is a sledgehammer for your life, and begin to tear down that fear and anxiety and begin to use the tools that you've been given. Now watch this. Not only do you have to have the right tools, but you have to have the right strategies. Anyone ever had that? Ever heard that saying that said, "If it ain't broke, don't fix it."
Yeah.
That's a very common saying, and that's a strategy of generations before us. That's when they built stuff to last 45 years. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. This thing's gonna last 37,000 years. We're gonna keep it. We're gonna keep using it. And how many knows? A lot of times, my mom. I can see her digging her eyes into me. What's crazy is sometimes I'm not saying throw everything away, but let me tell you about this restaurant. This restaurant had computers that were 35 years old, and they had the strategy of their mind from the previous owner that said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And because they were beginning to growing, they're beginning to progress, the only thing that was making them lose business was actually their computers. So it was the strategy given to them by previous generations that no longer worked. So there's some things in your life that, some strategies in your life that were given to you by your parents, given to you by your grandparents, that can no longer work for your life. That's why you've got to come into agreement with God's plan. I'm teaching this morning. You don't need a new this, new that. You need a new strategy. You need a new strategy. Sometimes having a new strategy in your life means you step out in faith, and it's scary, and you'll slip up in the new strategy. I like to build stuff out of wood, and I like to recycle pallets. And my neighbor had an old fence, and they offered me to come tear it down, so I tear down their old fence. And I always try to improve my building techniques. And so I try new strategies. And I went out and I wanted to try this new strategy. And I bought the new tools for it. And I totally just messed up my entire project. I'm like, well, that didn't work. But I had to keep trying again and again and again. And now I'm just like, yeah, that's smooth. Fits together perfect. So when God will give you a new strategy for your life. When you seek his plan, he'll give you a new strategy. But just because you failed in the new strategy doesn't mean that you have to quit. Doesn't mean that you have to give up. So sometimes pastors will give you a new strategy. Apostle, gave us a strategy a long time ago. Sometimes in the mirror, you need to declare the word of God over yourself and speak the word of God over. I will be everything God said I will be. I can do everything God said I can do. And sometimes when you first do it, when you first try the new strategy, you'll be like, I can, what was it? What was the words again? I can do. And you look at yourself and you start smiling, like, oh, I got something in my tooth. Come on, anyone ever done that? You start declaring. And the strategy feels weird, but you've got to keep pushing the strategy. As Christians, we cannot give up. When God gives you the new strategy through our apostle, through our leadership, through prophetess, you've got to keep pushing with that strategy. So when they say you've got to build your most holy faith, during the week, you've got to keep trying the strategy. Because a lot of times you need a new strategy to advance your life. Oh, that's good. That's good. Number three. Are you guys ready for number three? To renovate, you have to have faith. To renovate your mind, you have to have faith. Listen to this. Just imagine with me a moment if you were getting a house renovated and you didn't fully trust the contractors or the ones doing it, and you didn't trust that the new material they were putting up or putting down would last. So what you did is you went and swept the old material back into the closet and kept it just in case as a backup plan. In case the new material wouldn't stay down or wouldn't look good, you kept the old just in case. Does that sound like anybody's spiritual walk? You have to have faith. I got to have faith in the contractor that says, we picked out a good material and it's going to last. That's why so many Christians will have faith for a moment, but not have faith in the end results of the plan. You've got to have faith. You've got to have faith to know that God doesn't have faulty materials. God doesn't have faulty answers. God doesn't have faulty solutions for your life. God has living, sound, and rock-solid improvements for your life. But you've got to have faith and trust in him. You see, a lot of times what we'll try to do is we'll try to have faith for the new while keeping the old. But with transformation, the old and the new can never co-inhabit. It can never co-inhabit. The Bible says you are a new creature in Christ. And a lot of us get stuck because we are having trouble letting go of the old. And a lot of times when you're having trouble letting go of the old, you got to go back to the plan. Look at the blueprints and go, nope, I'm going to have faith. Nope, I'm going to trust in God. Nope, because I know he gave me the plan. He gave me the promise. He gave me the word. Nope, I'm going to stay right here. I ain't going to worry about it. I'm going to let them get rid of the old completely. I'm not going to sweep the old back into the closet. I'm going to get rid of it because I know the new is better for me. Watch this. So an example of that is when God says, break up with that person. Break up with them. And you're like, God, I have faith in your strategies. I have faith in your plans. You break up. But you're still texting them once or twice a week. There's always a but there. Because you're still relying on the old. To truly renovate, you've got to be able to cut off the old completely. Yes. A lot of times, we are scared of the new because you haven't seen it yet. And the old is what you're used to. So as Christians, we'd rather go back to an old relationship than have faith enough to trust in the new. Just because you don't know the new yet doesn't mean it's going to hurt you. It means God's saying, trust me enough to let go of the old. So many Christians remain stuck because you're holding on to the old because it's what you're used to. But you're still trying to hold on in faith to the new. And God says, before you can move anywhere, before you can advance anywhere, before you can have any kind of favor anywhere, you've got to let go of the old. That's so good. Woo! I'm teaching today, y'all. Y'all better be taking notes. Y'all better listen to this message again. This was a revelation God gave me. You've got to be able to let go of the old. Many people are scared of progress because they are scared of what their life will look like without the old. People begin to think, God, if I let go of the old, it's going to leave a void in my life. If I let go of that job, it's going to leave a great void in my life. But God is saying, trust me enough this morning. Trust me enough this morning. Trust me enough this morning that the new is going to provide for you. The new is going to rebuild you strongly. The new is going to provide for you greater than ever before. The new is what I want for you. The new is part of your destiny. The new is part of your promise. Whew, thank you, Jesus. So to renovate, you have to have faith. You have to have faith that says, God, I know you won't leave me out to dry. God, I know you have great plans for my life. God, I know you will provide for me. God, even if there is delay or turmoil while I'm going to the new, I know I have the victory. God, if I have to go through a lonely season, then so be it, because I know greater is coming in my life. Greater is coming in my life. Sometimes it could be at a job. God says, I want you to go to this job. Lord, I don't know that job. I know this job. I've been here for 15 years. And a lot of times what's crazy is God has got a better job, higher paying, way less stress, but because of the thought of doubt, it will cancel you and keep you in a stuck place that you don't even like. Come on, somebody. I mean, for a season, I worked for a certain bank, and I won't name them, but they were not good to their employees. And the place I worked was a cash vault, so there was no windows. It was very secure. You had to go through 3 trap doors to get into the main area. We would process shipments of $60 million at a time. Trust me, when you look at a year's salary and this much cash, it makes it feel very small. And so I was there, and I was working hard. I was being diligent, and I was being stressed out. And I was like, Lord, I need to get out of this place. I'm believing for the new. But when it came to apply for the new, I got scared and didn't apply. All because of fear of what the new might look like. Well, I'm used to this. I'll stay here. I'm comfortable. I'm complacent. I'll stay here. Never let fear cancel your promise in your life. Never let fear cancel your promise in your life. Many people never find because they don't seek. And we don't seek because of what happens in the mind. A lot of the times, God will promise you something in your life, and you'll begin to already say, God, that's really big. But really, when you seek it out, you're like, oh, that's not that bad at all. You've got to be able to seek it and know that when he speaks it, he'll provide a way for it to come pass in your life. Amen? Amen. So whenever we renovate, whenever we do all this, it all leads to transformation. And it starts with the renovating of our mind. Someone say, get your mind back. Yeah, when you get your mind back, you'll have transformation in your life. And with transformation, the old and the new cannot coexist. That's why you've got to have transformation. You've got to let go of the old. And what's crazy about this is that once you get your mind back, look what Colossians says here. Colossians 3 and 2. Yes. Once you get your mind back, you now have to maintain it. Yes. Look what it says. It says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Look what Scripture says there. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So once I get my mind back, I can't just let it go where it's always gone before. I've got to set my mind on things above, heavenly things, not on earthly things. A lot of the times, the reason why we have anxiety, we have fear, we have doubts in our minds, because our minds have been so asphyxiated on earthly things. Which the scripture says you've got to set your mind on things above. And watch, whenever you set your mind on things above, in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, the next scripture, the next screen there, watch what happens here. Watch what happens. It says, you will keep in perfect peace. Next screen, please. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. All who's what? Wait a minute. So my promise of perfect peace comes from not only trusting in God, but fixing my thoughts on Him? Pastor David, you're telling me that if I fix my thoughts, just my everyday thoughts on God, I'll be in perfect peace? Yes. He'll keep you in perfect peace. Did you know your life doesn't have to be a roller coaster? Doesn't have to be an up and down all the time. Happy, I'm sad. I'm happy, I'm sad. I'm fearful, I'm anxious. I'm joyful, I'm fearful. Your life don't have to be like that. Scripture says He will keep you in perfect peace when you trust in Him, when you trust in the plan, and when you keep your thoughts fixed on Him. A lot of times, saints of God, when God moves in your life, you've got to know how to keep your thoughts fixed on Him. That means while you're working your job, yes, you've got to process things, you've got to make decisions, but even while you're at work, you have a thought that says, Lord, I thank you. Even while you're at work, you have a thought that says, Lord, you're good and worthy to be praised. Just the other day, I was in the shower, you know, taking care of business, cleaning myself off, and I just had a thought. And I just started singing worship in the shower. How many know in the shower, that's when you can really sing gospel, right? I'm like, doo, doo, doo. Lord, you're so good, yeah. Come on, anybody ever done that? Come on. You got the best acoustics. But it's in that action of worship started with a thought. I'm giving you a key this morning, saints of God. If you want your life to change, Paul says transformation by the renewing of your mind. It wasn't the renewing of your knees, your toes. It wasn't the renewing of your backbone. He said, the mind. Things will begin to change in your life when you let God change the way you think. Let Him change the way you think. That means sometimes, God, I'm open to this new perspective you got for me, even though I don't understand it. I'm open to it. Anyone ever been there before? You're asking God a question. You're like, I don't know what your answer is going to be. It might be a little bit out of the box, God, but I'm going to trust you anyways. He will begin to stretch you when He renovates your mind. He'll begin to expand you when He renovates your mind. Sometimes when they renovate houses, the owner will come in and go, you know what? Let's actually add on a bigger kitchen over here. Tear down that wall. Sometimes God will come into your life, and when you're being in the process of transformation, He'll go, you know what? We need to expand faith in the business ideas of your life. We're going to expand past the four walls, and you've got to be open enough to receive that from God. You've got to be open enough to receive it. Perfect peace. All those whose thoughts are fixed on God. Saints of God, you have to know the authority God has given you and know that He has great plans for your lives. You see, we have to be in a place of trust that the giant doesn't change the way we think, but only God can change the way we think. How many knows? Some of you this morning, you may be dealing with a giant. Or maybe you see a giant a way off. God's given you a business idea, and boy, it's a giant. God's given us a vision for a new kingdom hall and this and that, and it's a giant. But don't let the giant change the way you think. Only let God do that. Because when David came up against Goliath, he didn't pout in fear, but he said, the same God that helped me overcome the bear, the same God that helped me overcome the tiny lion, is the same God that's going to help me overcome you, Goliath. And in your life, you've got to say the same thing. The same God that helped me get over a fence, the same God who helped me get over that hurt, is the same God that's going to help me take down this giant. And saints of God, I come to declare this morning, the giants don't have to stand in your life. The giants don't have to stay. They don't have to stand. They don't have to remain. All of you watch online, the giants do not have to remain in your life. You just got to trust in God, get renovated in your mind, and watch Him help you take down the giant in your life. I'd ask everyone to stand on their feet this morning. I hope that this teaching, preaching has ministered to you. I hope you've got some keys from it this morning. I encourage you to go back and listen to it again and again and again and receive from this, grow from this. You're transformed by the renovating of your mind. So this week, since God spoke that word, He's going to challenge some of you. Some of you may have an old thought pattern of this equals that and that equals this reaction. And God's going to say, this week it's going to equal this reaction of love instead. Come on, somebody. If you really want transformation, you're going to have to submit to His will. Like with my story with the neighbors, my thought pattern is, I ain't giving you no drink. I ain't giving you nothing. You're going to be hot and sweaty like I am. But I had to submit to the thought pattern of God. And when He said, give them that Gatorade, I said, yes, Lord. I'm going to give them that Gatorade. Even if nothing comes back to me from it, I'm going to do it anyways. Sometimes God wants you to do things in your life and you'll get nothing from it. He wants you to be nice from someone and they will still hate you. He wants you to be nice to your boss and they still don't like you. You have to understand that when you go through renovation, sometimes you'll get nothing in return. But it's God just changing the way you think. And He's got to start small and He's got to get bigger. And I've come to tell you this morning, saints of God, when you do that, oh my God, you'll have an increase of faith like you've never seen. You have an increase of favor like you've never seen. You have an increase of joy and peace like you've never seen in your life. You'll see an increase of harvest like you've never seen in your life. You'll see greater prosperity in your life. You'll see greater prosperity in your family. You'll begin to see greater boldness in you. You'll begin to see greater faith in you. But it all starts with the mind. So this morning, as I come to a close, I just want to pray over the corporate body, pray a blessing over you, pray over each and every one of you. And I know this is different than what we normally do, but God wanted me to teach this to you so you could really receive it this morning. Did you receive something this morning? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Post about it, share it, and use the tool we just gave you. Use those tools. So we're going to pray, and then they're going to sing a song, and then we're going to end service with that. But what I want us to do is when we pray, I want you to really have your heart open. Let God speak to you about thought patterns that He wants to tear down. Let Him speak to you about actions that He wants you to change. Let Him speak to you about the plan this week. He may tell some of you to fast one day this week. That's part of the plan. He may tell some of you this morning that you need to read 15 minutes every day. Read your Bible. That's the plan. But I want to encourage you, open your heart. Open your heart to Him. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You, Lord, so much for this word. We thank You, God, for the teaching that You've shown us this morning about the renovating of our minds, and that when we renovate, God, there is provided transformation as the result. So, God, we pray as a corporate body that You show us Your plan. Lord, this week, if You want us to go love someone that hates us, show us, Lord. Lord, if You want us to read the Bible more than ever before, show us, God. Lord, we ask that You just show us, God, Lord, how to witness and how to pray for others around us. God, Lord, I just speak, Lord, a fresh boldness over these people, a fresh boldness over this body, a fresh boldness over our children, over our youth, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we declare and decree, we will not be fearful of getting rid of the old, but we will be confident in the new. Father, we receive the new. And Lord, we ask that You just tear up the things, God, that need to be tore up in our lives, that need to be torn up from all the way from our past, God, the past thought patterns, the past seeds, God. Lord, we thank You, Lord, and we declare sign and decree, Lord, that every spirit of depression has to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of anxiety has to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of fear has to go in Jesus' name. Yeah. But God, we thank you, Lord. We declare and decree a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a sound mind over these people. And God, we declare and decree, Father, we are kept in perfect peace in Jesus' mighty name. Let's sing this song this morning. Thank you, Lord. Just worship with us.
I love you, Lord.
Open up your heart and worship.
For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand.
From the moment I wake up.
From the moment that I wake up until I lay. The goodness.
How good has he been to you this morning? It's been so good.
Oh, all my life you have been faithful.
Come on, sing that song. Sing it with us from your heart.
Woo. All my life you have been so, so good.
With every breath. Sing that again. Let's sing that again. Sing that again. All my life. Right there, that's an exercise for your week. When you are facing the giant, when you're facing the trial, when you're facing the fear again, anxiety, and you're saying, Lord, I'm trusting you, just begin to think about the goodness of God in your life. Think about all the times he helped you, he saved you, he rescued you, all the times he healed your body, he touched your mind. I'll sing goodness of God. Sing that again. All my life.
Oh, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. And every breath that I am able, I will sing.
Worship. Listen to me. It's one of my favorite worship songs because all my life, he's been so faithful. All my life, he's been so good to me. When I was in a dark place, he was good to me. I was in a hurt place, he was good to me. Some of you this morning, you need to know you serve a good God. You serve a loving God this morning. All you watch online, someone online, you've been dealing with the thoughts of suicide. But I've come to declare this morning, the goodness of God is running after you. And he's renovating your mind. And I come against every thought of suicide in the name of Jesus. And we declare deliverance. We declare healing. Because the goodness of God hasn't failed you. It was man who failed you. And God is running after you. And all you in this place this morning, God is running after you. He's running after your family. He's running after your children. God has never stopped working in your life. So we'll give God praise. Because he's been faithful. He's been good. He's been faithful. Of victory. You've been waiting for the victory. His goodness is running after you this morning. It's yours today. The breakthrough is yours today. He says, I'm renovating your mind and I'm taking you into expansion today. Harvest is yours today. Amen. One. I want you to shout like the walls are falling down in your life. Two, I want you to shout like your family's being delivered. I want you to shout like the business is taking place. I want you to shout like you've gotten bigger advances than ever before. Are you ready, saints of God? Because shouting is the language of victory. And this is a victorious church. And you are a victorious people. And we declare and decree victory. One, two, three. So we give God shout in this place. Morning. His peace is running after you. His joy is running after you. His goodness is running after you. I want you to know, saints of God, you're about to walk into the greatest season of your life. Don't give up. Don't ever give in. But God's saying, trust my plans. I feel the Lord in this place. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you, God. The Lord is saying, there's some of you, the door's been opened, but you haven't walked through because of fear. And he's saying, this is your confirmation this morning, walk through the door. This is your confirmation this morning, walk through the door. Don't let fear hold you anymore. Thank you for peace, God. Man, I'm seeing in faith, I'm seeing thousands of people right now just getting this. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Miss Lene, the Lord just gave me a vision over your life. And it was, you were out in the middle of a field all by yourself. Jesus, and the fences were kind of close around you, but the fences started to move, and it wasn't you moving them, it was God moving them. He says, I'm expanding you. I'm expanding. Oh, I feel you, Lord. He loves you, daughter. He says, I love you, Lene. He says, I'm expanding you. So don't worry about the fence post. Don't worry about how old it's been. He says, I'm expanding you. He says, I'm going to bless you. He says, just stay submitted to my plan. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Woo, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just staying sensitive. I just want to stay sensitive to his spirit. Thank you, Lord. He's touched us this morning, saints of God. It's the Spirit of God that changes our lives. It's not religious activities. It's the Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. My brother right here, I don't know your name, but the Lord attracted me to you in the Spirit. And he says, son, I want to anoint your mouth. Son, I want to anoint your mouth. He says, I'm going to give you greater truth than you've ever been able to see. He says, but you got to trust me. He says, look for me. look for me every single day of your life, and you'll find me. When you seek, that's when you find. So, man, I want to encourage you. Seek him this week. Just try it. Because even me, man, it didn't happen until I seeked him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Wow. I feel such peace here. And I feel the Lord all over me. I don't want to offend him. Is there? Yes, Lord. Is there someone in here who's been dealing with depression? Been dealing with depressive thoughts? Really heavy? Come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up. Anyone dealing with depression, come on up. Anyone dealing with depression? Come on up, come on up, come on up, come on, come on. Yeah, the Lord, he's not done yet. When I was studying for this message, God said to me, he said, son, I'm going to deliver them from depression. It's in my notes. I was like, Lord, but this is Eagle Heights. We don't deal with depression, but God knew. Now, this doesn't mean that you're a failure. This doesn't mean that you aren't good enough. This doesn't mean that God don't love you. Dealing with depression was not something God destined for your life. Destined greater joy, greater peace for your life, greater destiny for your life. Hear this preacher today. You don't have to leave this building the same way you came. You don't have to leave this building the same way you came. It's by the Spirit of God that he delivered, he sets free, he makes free. And in my study time, in my prayer time, I heard God say, I will deliver them from depression. God said it, not me. This is not my own initiative. This is God. He said, I will deliver them from depression. And you needed to hear this word this morning. You needed a new tool. You needed a new strategy. You needed transformation, but he needed to renovate your mind. I feel you, Jesus. Everyone else, point your hands this way. Yeah, just keep doing that. I love, that's good. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God. All of you up here, just close your eyes. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. Now, what I want you to do, all you people up here, you have to begin to think in your mind, I will be delivered today. Just like with the woman with the issue of blood, she said, I will be healed today in her mind. You have to think that right now. I will be delivered today. Think that in your mind right now. I will be delivered today. Yes, I will be delivered today. Think in your mind. Use the head voice. I will be delivered today. Depression cannot have me anymore. Declare it in your mind. Depression cannot have me anymore. I will be delivered today. I will be delivered today. Keep declaring it. I will be delivered today. I will be delivered today. Keep declaring it. Keep saying it. Locked in your mind. Keep locked in on your mind. I'm gonna pray with you in just a moment, but you need to grab a hold of this with your mind first. Say in your mind, I am not leaving today the same. I am not leaving today the same. Take your mind back. I am not leaving today the same. Depression, you cannot have my mind anymore after today in the name of Jesus. Depression, you cannot have my mind anymore in the name of Jesus. Say it in your mind. I will be different from today on. Depression, you cannot be here anymore in the name of Jesus. I declare and decree in the name of Jesus. Deliverance. Deliverance in the name of Jesus. Depression, you have to go. Depression, you have to go. Depression, you have to go. Depression has to go. Depression has to go.
P.O. box. She cannot smell in the natural. She began to smell the fragrance of God, the scents, the flora of God. And I told her she needs to flow in the glory with Pastor David. That's what we're doing. Come on, give him praise.
Deliver in the name of Jesus.
The presence of the Lord is here.
Deliver in the name of Jesus. He said, you're a new creature. You're a new creature.